the outsourcing report?
Should we do a roll?
I'm sorry. James usually. Why don't we go around the room and state your name and that you're here?
Don Walker.
John Whitbeck.
Scott Hamburg.
Does everybody have?
Would you like to review the minutes?
I was just gonna say, does everybody have a copy of the minutes from the last meeting? Any additions or changes to the minutes from the last meeting? All right, seeing none, do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Moved it, I'll second it.
There you go. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions? Okay. Now I can deal with.
Carry on.
Robert's rules were rusty there for a minute. This is the draft. Everybody has, should have a copy of the outsourcing report. I don't believe any substantive changes have been made except a few. We made some typo changes and other things at the full meeting, so I think it's just a matter of approving the draft unless anybody has anything they want to add or change to it. Seeing none, do I have a motion to approve the draft as submitted?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Would you like to draft a memo to go to transmit this report to the Board of Supervisors?
Well, I think it needs to be approved by the.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know why. We already approved it, but I think it needs to now go up to the main next
to the
week.
Full GRC.
Yeah,
so you're
I will do that.
You're exactly right.
Sure. Next item on the agenda is consolidation update, which Mr. Robar's not here. I did not receive anything from him to present in his place. Did you get anything, Scott?
No.
Okay.
But in our last meeting, I think we had come to the conclusion we're pretty well getting stymied and stonewalled. To update this group, Tom, Julie, and I did present a summary of the GRC's activities to the Board of Supervisors on the 16th, if I remember correctly. And there was a lot of focus on the part of the supervisors on the portion of our report that talked about outsourcing and talked about the fact that we had found ourselves at a bit of a dead end. We elicited some rather strenuous responses from members of the Board of Supervisors, and we observed to them that any for an effort like this to really work, it requires political will within both supervisors. I pointed out that in other situations where it had worked, there had been instances where a former board supervisor member had become a school board member and vice versa, and those people really championed the efforts. There is a restructuring of the representation of the Board of Supervisors on the Joint School Board Board of Supervisors Committee, which I think reflects a desire on the part of the newer members of that joint board to be a bit more assertive in the process, and there was a lot of talk on the dais that evening about the need for responsiveness and how that could play into the current budget discussions, etc. I'm not expressing an opinion on any of those matters, just simply reporting to you that it seemed that the board was very interested in and unhappy with the fact that we were not able to make progress. So as far as next steps go, unless we get a clear directive from the school board to school staff to comply and to cooperate, we're not going to get anywhere further. I think we've made the case. I think we have put it out there to the people that appointed us, the Board of Supervisors, as to where we stand. And my opinion is, at this moment, it really is in their court to exert pressure and to negotiate with the other board as to how both boards want to proceed in this matter, because I think absent political will in both bodies, I'm not sure there's much we can do. That's my viewpoint. I don't want to be defeatist, but I also don't want to waste time either. Any thoughts on those matters?
no avenue has opened up. They don't seem to be showing any higher level of cooperation than the virtual neglect or stonewalling we were getting. Nothing's happening yet.
So, when we had met with the joint school board and board, Chairman Hornberger had suggested that, you know, perhaps what we should do is we should send more specific requests from our side as to where we think the consolidation opportunities could be, and then the board could direct specific members of staff to cooperate with us and engage in discussion like that. We hypothesized in our last meeting here that A, for us to try to push upon them the areas of consolidation would not be the most productive way to do it. What we're looking for is a cooperative approach with some initiative from school staff as to where they think the opportunities could be, number one. And number two, if the spirit is not there on the part of the relevant staff members, will we really get any cooperation? So we decided not to pursue that particular angle. But I bring it up because that is one that did surface. We just didn't necessarily think that it was a valid.
A little skeptical of asking any of the staffs to tell us, you know, what we might be able to combine or to consolidate, because it's a turf issue. I just can't see anybody getting off of his turf. You know, he views it as some sort of downsizing or whatever it is to what his functions are. For example, you know, I've never been there, but there's talk in the print shop. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe something we ought to consider doing is at least the delegation, or I'll go. Or to go have a look-see in person at the two operations and sure. Size it up.
But no, we don't have one.
Pardon me?
We don't have one.
So you don't have any print shop at all?
No,
the school board.
It's completely outsourced. And so the issue there was, for some documents, it may be less expensive for us to go and use the school's print shop because of the volume.
And just to respond, the response that we got from county staff, in our view, was not turf conscious. You know, our view was that county staff was very open to the idea, and they were willing to put ideas forward that would have resulted in consolidation on the school side as opposed to the county side. And indeed, the print shop was one area that county staff identified as one of the two areas that the school actually agreed could be susceptible to consolidation. You know, so that is there. You know, it's relatively minor.
Did you say one of two areas?
Some phone lines. They thought that some phone lines for the CASA program could be shared. But
as
actually,
that massive would, as that system is,
correct.
And this massive, and it came up with two.
Correct. And this is what
they came up with one.
Right.
The print shop we handed to them on a silver platter.
Okay.
So
we're looking at $1 billion worth, and they can't come up with but one.
They came up with about a $75 savings. That, you know, in my opinion, was a kick in the teeth. I don't think it was not in thought
the response,
about
the response.
Their response about the county said, okay, well, you guys brought the print shop to us, and that's something you're going to let us do, so we'll agree with that. But all we can come up in our almost billion-dollar budget is a couple of phone lines. I really thought that was a slap in the face.
I agree with you, and just...
And it was, I don't think...
And it's not just... I think there's some reluctance on the part of the board. I mean, you were there. The way they treated the year-round school issue, they wouldn't even vote to study it.
Yes.
And that was another thing that we had recommended. They completely torpedoed it without even going so far as to study it.
Yeah,
wasn't a motion to implement it. Wasn't a motion to spend a dime on it. It was just to study it for a period of time, a finite period of time, that if they determined after, I think it was 90 days, that it was not something they wanted to pursue, it would be done, and they wouldn't even go there. So I, as much blame as I would lay at the feet of staff, I think there is also the elected officials on the board, the reluctance to do things differently.
So just
in some areas, not
just
all.
for your benefit, this is what we presented in writing verbally to the board. With respect to consolidation of shared services, County Administrator Tim Hempstreet and his leadership team have been a valuable constructive asset to the LCGRC in investigative work, provided us with timely, meaningful information last summer. By stark contrast, the LCGRC is disappointed with the lack of meaningful cooperation from LCPS, the result of which has thwarted our efforts to investigate potential cost savings for general government schools and administrative services, land acquisition and construction, and other areas that don't impact students or teachers. LCGRC members have addressed this matter on two occasions before the Joint Schools Committee. We request further assistance from the BOS to facilitate a more constructive process. We believe a good working relationship with members of the school is essentially making further progress, along with a stronger, their stronger directive to the superintendent. So I think we laid it out, you know, pretty accurately. I think at this point in time, it's a matter, it's a political matter for the Board of Supervisors and the school board to deal with.
Yeah.
So I think we should turn our attention to other issues. We are expecting, I know Tom has sent an email around with this information, but there was a clear statement from the board that they want us to look at the issue of eligibility for subsidies for all county programs and services. This actually came out of the discussion we had around adult daycare and the point that we raised with respect to some kind of a means testing with regard to people who are receiving the subsidized service. That was discussed in the committee, and we presented that. Woody presented the adult daycare findings to the committee, the Government Services and Finance Committee. Do I have that right? Ralph's committee.
Finance, Government Services, and Operations.
Finance, Government Services, and Operations. There was some discussion amongst the committee members about that particular recommendation. Ralph had been prepared to move the recommendation forward without it, but a number of other folks on the committee said, wait a second, let's not let that go. You know, this deserves some further study. That came back in the context of the full board with programs like CASA, which is an after-school care program, which is heavily subsidized. And basically, we were asked to look into, let me just decline this, we were asked to look into all county programs that charge fees that are provide a service such as daycare or for children or adults to county taxpayers, and should we be looking at better cost recovery?
Is that the interpretation of subsidized?
Well, by way of example, yes. By way of example, the CASA program is heavily subsidized, and so it amounts to a tremendous subsidy for daycare.
Well, subsidies to me would be where the county's contributing something to it when maybe it should be coming from another source, you know, like self-supporting or whatever the thing is.
Or private sector. Because another phenomenon here, and I know that you brought this up in the context of adult daycare, so this isn't an issue that, you know, that you're not familiar with, but you can crowd out private sector services if the government's providing those services at a below market rate. You know, maybe people would do it. Maybe people are prepared to do it. But they're not going to.
With back in the days when the VCR tape hit and hit big, we ended up with the county providing it through the library services when it had Blockbuster and everybody else and all the mom and pop video stores opening up in every shopping center. Mm-hmm. And the county competing, in a sense, with them there. And for very little or no cost, you were checking it out of the library, just like checking out a book.
So is that something that this group has an appetite to do based on the fact that it would go to this committee?
I'm wondering, since we've only touched on something, Scott, there about for a subsidized situation, how many things do we subsidize?
I have no idea.
I don't know if there's an answer to that. Maybe it's too vast to have an answer.
Well, I think we probably have to give some parameters to staff. But if we had the appetite, then I would think first thing we'd do is ask for some guidance from Tim and Julie as to how to go about a discovery process as to exactly what programs are we talking about here.
My comment is I don't have a problem with us looking into it. I just wonder if it should be us or should it be staff, in the sense that if they like the concept of looking at programs that we subsidize, that maybe we should do some types of means or price testing, you know. Does it need to come back to us to go through and say, yes, you have these programs, and yes, you could do this, or is that more of a staff process?
I think that, as with almost anything we've done, that without the cooperation of staff, we're not going to get the information we need to conduct any kind of analysis or render any kind of opinion. I think what the board is looking for us to do as citizens appointed to the commission is to conduct some analysis, draw some conclusions, and make some recommendations from data. But along the way, staff have frequently shared their opinions, their observations with us, which has affected our view of things and affects our recommendations one way or another. So I think no matter what, it has to be an interactive process with staff. I think that the board would be looking for us as their citizen appointees, you know, to give them some kind of recommendation.
They'll have knowledge of where it goes, but
if they're looking for us to say, you know, these programs we think, yeah, you should do that, and these ones maybe not, that's fine. And I don't have a problem with us doing it. It seems like it's a concept that we've all went through the adult daycare system, and they seem to support it. Well, I don't know if they do or not, because they stripped it out. I don't know where it's going
to
go.
But they asked for staff to study and to get them some data as to, okay, what is the actual situation with respect to people receiving the service and how much of an issue.
But I think there was digressing a little bit from their meeting, I think there was a big misunderstanding of what the intent was. In fact, I talked to Sean Williams right afterwards and explained to him that, you know, it's where he got his concern was, which was from Charlotte, is it's not going to affect her and the people she's concerned about.
Right.
And I explained to him that the kinds of examples of, you know, I told him, I said, if my, you know, my mother or father was to pass away and the other was to come live with me for the prices that they charge, I mean, I would be thrilled. If the highest rate, I'd be thrilled to pay that, you know, because for me to be able to go out and work and have a place where I know they can go and be taken care of. That was the point of this, is not to burden anybody, but it's just at a reasonable salary level of the caretakers. It's not a burden for them to use this program at the rates, even at the highest rate that we charge.
I'm glad you clarified that for him. I didn't realize it was lost on.
It was, because he heard, you know, from Charlotte, and when it comes to seniors, you listen to Charlotte.
Gotcha.
But, you know, it's like what we were looking at, it would not affect her or the people she's concerned about. So
should we put the, you know, we've got obviously staff resources here, should we put the question to them as to how one might go about collecting the relevant data for us to look at? Is that something that...
I think we ought to take a good look at the scope there, because when we're talking about subsidized, we're talking in a sense the equivalent of a subsidy or a supplement. And some things historically may have been around a long time and they're past what they should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And then that should be looked at. So we should look at it in that scope. Now, I know, for example, in some areas of social services, the county's paying part of the bill for the state employees from social services. And I'm wondering if those state employees are not up to a point now where they've arrived at the modern times. The state's always behind on catching people up to what the current situation is. But I wonder if that hasn't arrived to that point. We're paying something there that now is fully funded by the state.
And I'm not familiar with what you're referring to.
It's worth looking at. I mean, I even go back to if there's daycare situations, because you don't have to go too far back in the federal government, where all of a sudden they created the child and all the tax credits you could get for daycare,
right?
Which, I mean, you know, 20 years ago they didn't exist.
FSA,
so if we have right, so there are folks that are getting a tax benefit back now from the federal government for those services. If the subsidies had been put in place prior to that, now they're getting a double.
That's a good point.
So there might be some that, you know what, people at a certain salary level are getting money back on their federal taxes, though. So do we still need, the counties still need to provide subsidies above and beyond that? So
I think we should cast a wide enough net to get a look at the big picture.
You think we should?
I do.
So if I may ask, Tim and Julie, do you have any thoughts as to how to identify programs that fall within the scope of what the board is driving at?
Well, when I heard the board discussion, my immediate reaction was they were looking at programs where we have a fee offset.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we do we don't collect fees on. Okay? Most of fire, most of sheriff's office, the library system, you know, we don't collect fees. A lot of parks and rec, adult daycare is one program, but, you know, there's after-school care, there's preschool.
Which is known as CASA, right?
Julie, you're going to have to...
Correct. That's one.
There's CASA, also, and then
there's... also YAS, which is for middle school. So there's a number of after-school programs in parks and rec.
Some of which are connected with mental health and...
Correct.
The schools
prevention
and...
programs.
the ADC, and so there's a lot of youth programs where we collect, it's a fee for service, but we don't collect 100% of the fee for the service. So it's subsidized by the taxpayer.
Got it.
Similar to that, the whole land, we would not recommend you to look at land development, but the whole land development program, building development, the vast majority of B&D and a portion of planning is fee offset. So when you go and build something and you pull building permits in theory collect 100% of what it costs for your plan review and for the inspector to come out and inspect your whatever.
And was there not another group that already looked at the planning and zoning
process? We do that on the ministerial fees, electrical, mechanical, structural, life safety, fire, those are all looked at annually and reset by the director of building development to collect 100% of what it costs to administer that. Where you get into a little bit of an area is on your planning side, because your which is essentially your legislative process as opposed to your building, the stuff that planning commission looks at. So all of that stuff, there's a fee. We do not collect anywhere near 100% of what it costs the staff to go through that process. Now, the last board.
Didn't you say you do on building and development?
We do on building development, but we don't on the legislative side. And then on zoning, we don't collect anything. I mean, you know, the fees aren't even close. Zoning enforcement, there's no way to collect fees high enough to cover up. Legally, we can't do that. So you theoretically could on planning, but then your development fees would be so
astronomical
compared to all the surrounding jurisdictions. And so a lot of that has very little nexus with your effort. It's more, well, what does Fairfax charge and what does Arlington charge and what does Montgomery charge? And
that makes
you
sense.
Know,
you can easily get $1,000 or $1,500 building permit. That can be pretty stiff where you stick a shovel in the ground, but then you realize you're paying your way. So I think it's very costly, but it's very fair.
Right. Now, you could look at that. That is something you could look at, but...
But you wouldn't recommend it.
Not building development.
I think you look. They're looked at so regularly that we're collecting as close to 100% as we can collect. I mean, you know, now, there's little mini issues within that, so, you know, should it cost $1,500 to... pull a shed permit. I mean, you know.
Not a shed, but if you go to build a house or something, yeah, you're going to pay some serious money before
right.
when you're still
well,
looking at
but,
all woods. You know?
But there's some permit fees, you know, like to locate a shed is probably $200.
Well, yeah.
But that's.
It's costly, but it's fair.
Right. Drill a well is probably $1,500 in permit fees when you get through zoning, the health department, all of that stuff. Now, you'll get people in here who'll say, you know, the average homeowner, that's fine to charge a developer for that, but your little homeowner shouldn't have to pay that high of a fee. But it's 100% of the cost, so, you know.
If you're collecting it, because, you know, I've done little projects when I finished a basement, and I had to have all the different inspections and fees, and I, quite frankly, thought it was pretty cheap.
But it's I mean,
that didn't faze me in the least, and, you know, I've always been pleased with the county services. If when you go to build, you ask them a question, there are people falling all over themselves to help mm-hmm. you. Even the inspectors, when they came out, were mm-hmm. incredibly helpful.
But those,
and I thought the cost was pretty minimal.
It's not a problem. I've done
but
it
those,
for a lifetime.
Which
it's
is why I don't know that you want to look at the land development stuff, yeah, but you can. I mean,
well, I think based on the expertise of Don, based on Cliff's experience, you know, and I haven't heard of it as a burning issue that demands our attention. We should leave that out and look at the other. Yes, ma'am.
A couple points. I remember the board discussion was different board members made different points during this discussion.
Right.
I remember Chairman York very specifically, I can't remember who he was looking at, but he said all fees. I mean ALL fees.
Mr. Reed.
So I I guess I would suggest that, if you are going to carve out, I totally agree with Tim in terms of
why don't we do this? Why don't we go ahead and put a list together of everything we charge fees for?
Yes.
And then you guys can say you looked at all fees, and then you could have the internal discussion as to
where you want
what you want to look at. Because there may be some fees within the land development area and the building area that you do want to look at for whatever reason.
Perfect.
You know, so why don't we just bring you a schedule of everything?
I read this whole thing different. I read what Tom sent us there, and I just got a different take on it. You know, what's the county paying for that they shouldn't be?
Yeah.
Well, I think that covered our next steps discussion.
Well, I just wanted to make a couple other
points. We took this as being on the revenue side.
Yeah,
I mean, that was the context of what was discussed on the dais.
I'm just saying, I read Tom Julius what he sent me, and I didn't read it that way. But
so
clarification next week might be a good idea.
Yeah. Well, the board has yet to give us. They're going to give us some direction.
A written communication.
So what we'll do is ask them to be clear in the communication.
I think that's a good approach.
Okay. Yeah. But I do believe no matter what, it's going to capture all fee.
Right.
So we might as well ask staff to start with that piece, and it's broader.
It's going to catch all fee side. I mean, we'll just give that all to you, and then you can decide what you want
right,
to do.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you could spend I'll put it this way. Last time, as staff, that we went through just the land development fees, it took us a year.
Awesome.
As staff. So that's why I'm saying, you know. But there may be a few fees in there that you do want to look
just
at.
Just as a point of interest on that land development stuff, and interest and curiosity for fellow members and so forth. Back when I filed for a special exception in 1976, it was probably $200 or something like that. You know, there was a filing fee for it and so forth. Looking to get a special exception to do something with a parcel that wasn't zoned for that. Like today, mm-hmm. for example, a convenience store can't have gas without a special exception to have gas pumps at the convenience store. That application fee, from what my constituents tell me, is now about $15,000.
Wow. For that particular application.
Depends on the zoning district. Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends on what has to be looked at.
Development business has gotten pretty high tech and pretty complicated and definitely expensive. But you sure have a hard time seeing mom and pop show up that want to take something that's, say, zoned for a flower shop, and they want to run a barber shop there instead of a flower shop or something. They got to come up with a fee like that before they can do that on a quarter acre parcel or something. Ooh, you just sunk the boat before it started.
Wasn't there a group that was looking at the different zoning issues for things like that? It's if you can have a flower shop, is it really such a big deal if they have a barber shop? You know, there was, I think there was.
Yes, the zoning, the board has its own.
That was on a bed and breakfast issue, wasn't it?
No, the board right now has its zoning.
A new Zork?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They don't call it Zork,
no.
But it's. And so they just actually passed the first phase of changes at the January 16th meeting, the same meeting you're at. And then they initiated the second phase of those ordinance changes.
Because I was looking at, you know, going back to the school process, and when I talked to Lou Roush, he said, if you could do one thing for us, is get rid of the, you know, if we could avoid the legislative fees to build a school. Because if you want a school, it's a special exception process, and they have to spend all the six figures to go through that process. And given that it's a county government and a county school, you know, you need to go through that process to build a school.
Except schools elicit tremendous responses from citizens.
We're not saying you get rid of the public's ability to come and speak, but you have to put it through the special exception process on top of
the board initiated a process to make schools a by right use without a special exception in certain districts.
So that's being addressed.
Correct.
Most developmental costs are at times staggering. I belong to a fraternal type organization. We looked a couple of years ago at getting another lot because the county town wanted our facility, a little tiny lot here in town with our little tiny building on it. We're going to have to consider at the time going to another lot. And a former mayor and same guy, former supervisor, was Jim Clem, said that, that if we got a hold of a lot before we stuck a shovel in the ground, it was going to take us $150,000 and close to a year and a half or maybe two. And you haven't got any bricks and mortar at that point.
Yeah. But that probably includes, in addition to the fees, the engineering costs.
It's
an attorney's fees and all that stuff.
List
so that's probably
stuff. Yeah.
That's not just that's not just our. I mean, that's not just county fees. That's like the whole.
Yeah, it's everything. Right. It's true. It's there. I agree with you. It's everything. But significant vegetation, contour elevations per 5 foot.
Now, was that in the town?
Pardon me.
Was that in the town?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the town.
Yeah, it gets a little. But no,
there's stories like that in the county too. But we're not as.
Yeah, but the town of Leesburg always makes us look good.
I apologize. I'm from Winchester, so. Safe driving.
Yeah.
But
thank you very much.
Is there anything else?
I don't think there is, but I don't want to cut anyone off.
So I think we've identified next steps.
So we'll provide a list. I mean, we'll come up with everything.
Question for you. Do you want to maintain the same meeting schedule in 2013 as you were in 2012?
Yes.
This committee was the second Thursday?
Yeah, because remember, the
chairman moved it. Opted to change to Tuesdays.
He moved it for January because of the conflict the first week with the holiday schedule.
Right.
Gotcha.
So I'm flexible either way.
So you can stay on Tuesday.
Selfishly, Tuesdays are better for me.
Because I already work on Tuesdays, so they can't give me overtime on Tuesdays, but they always do on Thursdays. So
I would be fine with Tuesday.
So second Tuesday?
Great.
Of each month. That would make your next meeting on the 12th, which the second Tuesday of each month is also when the Finance Committee.
I was going to say, I can't be. I mean, nothing matters, but I can't
I don't care whether it's the first, third, or fourth Tuesday, but as long as it's
that's
a Tuesday.
That's up to you all. That second Tuesday, at least Mr. Hemstreet would not be able to be here.
I think we should try to accommodate Mr. Hemstreet's presence. So,
that's fine. First Tuesday?
First Tuesday.
That's fine. I don't think we have a conflict, I think.
First Tuesday should work.
Okay, superb.
All right.
Motion
to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
I'll second. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Can
we set a new record here?
John, you're still on the land of work?
No.
So I thought you were dragged into that lawsuit.
I am, but I keep erroneously getting quoted as a.
I thought maybe you were still on the board. That's why you're included.
Well, I was at the time. I was at the time included.